All right, we'll use the handheld for a while. So, if you will indulge me, how many of you are good at math? I think you are. How many of you know how to add and subtract? All right, then that's the same as me. So you're good at math. So, some of you can answer this. So, pay attention, listen, all right? Pretend with me. This message, we're going to revert to childhood when those commercials were just like, all children are glued to commercials. So pretend you're a child with me just for a little while. And I want you to add and subtract for me for just a second, okay? So imagine with me that you are driving a bus, all right? And you start off with 10 people on the bus. And at the first stop, you drop off 2. And you pick up 1. Are you with me? Second stop, you pick up 3. And you drop off 1. Third stop, you pick up 4. And you drop off 3. All right, you with me? Now, who can tell me what the bus driver's name is? Anybody, can you tell me? The bus driver's name. Yes. There you go. It's your name. I said you are the bus driver. You pick up this many people. You drop off this many people. It was you. But you didn't hear that, did you? I distorted the message from what I was trying to get you to come out with. I totally threw you off. I clouded your vision. And a lot of times this is what commercials do. Commercials are meant for you to say, my life is not good enough. I am not happy. I am not satisfied with what I have. That's number one. They have to convince you of that, and they do a very good job at that. And secondly, to convince you that their product or their service is going to complete you, to fill that unsatisfying feeling, to make you happy. This is what commercials do. The average American sees over 3,000 advertisements every day. That's from billboards to advertising on cars to commercials to even radio, but they actually see over 3,000 ads every day. Did you know that? That blows me away. We are totally consumed by it. I remember when I was a child, I didn't have that many toys, so I made a lot of my own. I was ADD, like a lot of you are, and finding out that you are. And we didn't have a lot of channels. And so people ask me how I know so much how to tinker with electronics, although I don't know that much about it, is because we had a TV, and I was the kid that fixed the rabbit ears that were like 20 feet in the air, made out of, you know, all sorts of metal pieces. And I would glue to the TV. I absolutely loved the TV, although it was probably all messed up and, you know, snow on it. But I remember, my mom tells me today, actually I don't really remember, but she tells it all the time. I run up to her in the kitchen and I say, Mom, we have got to get this. It's not an option. We've got to get this. And she's like, why? We don't need that. We have to. And I pitch a fit and I roll on the ground. We've got to get it. David, why? Because the TV said so. I was so convinced that we had to because it says, you have to get it now. And I'm, okay, go get it. As a child, we are completely consumed by that. We take everything very literally. And as adults, we get away from that. And we forget even the message that people are trying to tell us that's important. We see so many commercials a day. Our attention is being fought for. It is. Every single day, a company is fighting for your attention. And our attention is hard to grab today, because there are so many commercials. There are so many distractions. Every single day we see over 3,000 ads. Which one are you going to pay attention to at that particular moment? We pass by billboards, and you've got, 10 seconds or less to see a billboard? What on that billboard is going to capture you? That's why people get degrees in marketing and advertising, so that they can grab your attention. It consumes our culture. What is going to grab your attention? Oh, it depends on who they're going for. Are they going for middle-aged people? Are they going for young people? Are they going for kids? A new thing came out, and it's past me. I had to call somebody and figure out what this is. The billboards around Nashville, that have cartoon characters saying, I'm a hot toe picker, and look at my meat beard. I had no idea what the, you know, anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody see those in Nashville? I'm like, what in the world? What does that mean? And it's a cartoon. And what adult's going to know that? None. But the kids are going, oh, I know that. They spend millions of dollars on teens and on kids. Not even kids. Why? Because they get mom and dad to pay for it. They do. And they're smart. People advertise to children and youth because they will grab the money from their parents and say, we've got to have this. Or parents will give it to their kids, give it to their teenagers. There's so much money that flows. People spend so much time on advertising. We are in a series called Encrypted Culture. Last week, Chris talked about movies and TV. This week, if you haven't guessed, we're going to be talking about advertising. And I'm getting parched. Can somebody bring me my coffee? This message today brought to you by Shake It Up Coffee. There's some in the back. It's very good. And mine's sitting on the table and it's coming up to me. Even that is an advertisement. How many of you love Shake It Up Coffee? Thank you, Ben. How many of you like, whoa, yeah! I'm talking about. You know what I loved when I was a kid? Things like Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone, G.I. Joes, and a commercial we're going to show you here in a second. I love to play. I love to pretend. How many kids don't? Check this commercial out.
Introducing Thundercats Berserkers. Lion-O battles the Berserkers for the Sword of Omen. Top Spinner. Cruncher. Hammerhead. Rambam. Berserkers. Ho! Lion-O and the mutant Berserkers each sold separately from LJN.
There you go. It just brings me back. Ho! Very nice. I love toys. I love to play. My sister and mom would tell me I would change clothes like 10 times a day. Oh, what do you know, David?
I'm a detective.
What do you know?
I'm David Crockett.
What do you know? I'm a Thundercat. Ho! I would change. I just love to pretend. And it started off, my mom tells this story all the time, how I come up to her again in the kitchen. I guess she was always cooking. I don't remember. But I come up to her in the kitchen after watching TV, and this is just ingrained in my mind. I grab a banana. I swing it around. Bang, bang. Banana's a gun. It's kind of shaped like a gun. It's got a handle and a barrel. It's just yellow. That doesn't matter. I can still pretend it's a gun. It was ingrained in my head. How? I'm not like running around with my friends. Hey, cool gun! You know, we don't have real guns. I was probably like 3 years old. It's what we see on TV, it's what we see in movies, it's what's in magazines, it's what's told to us, ingrained in our heads. We are trying to reveal a movement of God within our culture. That's what we're trying to do in this series. Where do we see God in our culture? As in this culture that is encrypted, that there's so many things hidden. You know how many times a commercial relates to you and you have no idea it does? How many times it gets you to do something and you have no idea that it's doing it? Flipping through infomercials, driving down the road, something you see on TV, the next time you're in a grocery store, you're like, oh yeah, I have to get that toothpaste because it doesn't eat my enamel and it does a whole bunch of other terms. I don't even remember what it does, but you know what? I need to get it because the commercial is really cool. You don't say that in your head, but that's what happens. So how does God fit into this culture of commercials and advertising? Well, it relates completely different between what we know in America and other countries. Because America is extremely advanced in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways. So that's why we are talking about encrypting culture, specifically in America, because that's where we live, that's where our church is, that's where 24 Church is. We can't really speak for other places, because we live in a specific culture here in America, where people are exposed to advertisements every second of the day. But you know what? I'm not trying to say advertisements are bad. In no way are In no way am I saying advertisements are evil. There are many advertisements that are bad. You know what? People were smart. They figured out that sex sells. People pay attention to sexy. They do. And that's why you see so many women and men plastered all over the place. Can God use that? Where does God fit into advertising? Let's figure out, how does God advertise? How does he do it? Does God advertise? Does he? You say, sure, there's ads on TV all the time. Is God really in that? How does God advertise? What I'm trying to ask is, how can God keep up with the commercial world? Can he? Can God keep up with market? With the market, the economic market, how can he keep up with that? Does God change? No. God doesn't change. Does his message change? The answer should be no. But it's yes. The message that is portrayed about God changes all the time because people distort it. The message God wants to portray, the will of God, does not change. What changes is the advertisement that man make about him. If you will, go to Galatians with me. What we're going to read here, give you a little background, is from Paul. This is Galatians 1, chapter 1, to the church, First Baptist Gallatin, if y'all know about that. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's the church at Galatia, not Gallatin up the road, but Galatia. So Galatians 1, and go with me here. We're gonna look here in just a second. A thinker, a very powerful thinker, wise man of the name of Gandhi. Anybody ever heard of Gandhi? Short Indian man. Nobody knows who Gandhi is. Please raise your hand if you've heard of Gandhi. Thank you. That makes me feel a whole lot better. Whew. I was like, all right, I'm speaking to the wrong crowd. Y'all are 20 years behind. Gandhi wrote an amazing book, and the entire thing was how much he loved Christianity. How much he absolutely loved Christianity. What it meant, the faith, the love, the hope, and joy that Christianity was all about. But you know what? He despised Christians. He says, I look at Christianity, I read the Bible, I look at Jesus, and I see this amazing person. Gandhi says this. I see this amazing religion, a lifestyle of love and hope. But you know what? I look at a Christian and say, that's not what this says. You're living a life completely opposite of what this book tells me. Why? Because we distort it. Read with me in Galatians 1 and follow with me. It says, Paul, an apostle sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him up from the dead, and all the brothers with me. To the churches in Galatia, sorry. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. This is his introduction. He starts off talking to the church saying, I am astonished. Wow, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? I love this. Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. I absolutely love this verse. If I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Are you trying to please men? Or are you trying to do God's will? There's a huge Jesus movement some years ago. And the message of Christ is simple. To preach his message. To spread the gospel. How many of you ever heard that? Yes, you have. Spread the gospel. All right?
You know what? We're lazy. We're lazy. We are. We get embarrassed very easily. We get confused very easily. That's human nature. So when we're trying to spread the name of Jesus, spread the name of Jesus, you know, let's just plaster it on everything we can. Not, doesn't seem like a bad thing to do. Let's just plaster his name everywhere. Jesus didn't say, plaster my name everywhere.
Write it under overpasses.
He said, spread my message. The name of Jesus is in itself powerful, but can even be distorted and perverted. Sorry. The message of Jesus is particular. Is this my other mic trying to work? All right. What we have done is we have decided to take Jesus and take the easy way out. You know what? I want to tell people I'm a Christian. But you know, it's so hard to do that. It's so hard to go up to particular people and say, this is Jesus' message. This is what he means to me. So I'll just put a bumper sticker on my car and I'll wear this t-shirt today. And you know what? I'll ingrain into culture that I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian because I have the bumper sticker. I'm a Christian because I have the t-shirt. It's hotter in hell than something, I don't know. I wore those t-shirts. I had bumper stickers. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying that's not what Jesus called us to do. He didn't say, that's good enough. You wear the t-shirt, you're representative of me. You represent me when you wear that, when you have that bumper sticker. As long as you have, make it look like you're a Christian, that's good enough for me. That works in the corporate world. They hand out so much stuff, so many t-shirts with their name on it. They'll give you so many things, products that have nothing to do with them. You know, it's a mulch company that hands out flashlights, but it has their name on it, you know. As long as it has their name on it, that's all they want. They want their name out there because the more people see it, the more they can recognize it. You know what? Most people in America, I think it's 98.9% of everybody in America has heard the name Jesus. The only, you know, 1.2% or something like that don't hear it because they're just getting off the plane every day. His name is known, but his message is not. People see Jesus and go, ew, yeah. Puts a bad taste in my mouth. Jesus, church, boring, ugh. We have made Jesus boring. You know why? Because we have said, I'm a Christian. I am. I'm a Christian. Hold on, I'm not going to tell you about him first, but I am a Christian. And I have Jesus on my t-shirt and on my car and on my school books and on my kid's stroller. It's everywhere because I'm a Christian. And you know what? God loves you and will take care of your life. And you know what? When you have Jesus, your life is so much better. He takes pain away. He loves you so much. He won't let you go through hard times. He's with you. These things are true. Everything I just said is true. But you know what that portrays? If I have Jesus, he's going to heal me of all my pain. I'm going to have an amazing life that I don't have right now. I am unhappy, and Jesus is going to heal me. Even that's true. What's wrong with it? That's all they hear. You don't say, because you're a Christian, doesn't mean your life is going to be perfect. God will be there for you. He will heal you because you are going to get sick. Because somebody will hate you. Because someone will get mad at you. Because someone will steal from you. Because you will go bankrupt. But God will be there. We don't tell people this. And when it happens, what have we sold them? We've sold God as a bad product. We've given out guarantees and warranties that no one can come to the store and say, can I return Jesus? Because my wife just left me. And I pray that she'd come back and you said I just pray to God and things would get cleared up, and it's not. It's broken. Can you take this back? We tell so many people this, and we promote a bad product. What Paul is saying here is that you have heard a message. When you are a Christian, you hear a distinct message, and this is what it is. That everybody is not worthy of heaven. Nobody should be able to go to heaven because heaven is a place where God allows no sin. Meaning, everybody is a sinner. So how can a person get to heaven and have a relationship with our Creator, with our God? How can we have a joyful relationship with Jesus? Understanding that He came to earth. Jesus came to earth, all right? As man, living as man, being tempted as man, and crucified a grueling death to take upon Him the wrath of God. Not just some whip, but actually the wrath of God for every sin ever done in the world. So that we can ask for forgiveness. So that we can understand that He will forgive us of our sins. Giving our lives completely to Him, saying, God, I cannot do it anymore. I have tried to grab my life for so long, and I can't do it. And there would be times I'm going to try to grab it back, but Lord, don't let me out of Your hand. I know I'm a sinner, but you know what? I know You can save me. And those are pretty churchy terms right there. God, I know I've been a horrible person doing things You don't want me to do. And I know You know. And I don't want to hide it. I don't want to pretend that You don't see it anymore. I want You to take care of me, to wash me clean, so that I can have a closer relationship with You. Apparently, the church at Galatia had fallen away from their message that was given to them. A church started and saying, here's the message. Apparently, they had been too ingrained in culture and gotten too lazy to complete it, to go out and do the task that was originally set to them. They were preaching all sorts of strange things. And you know what? Many churches today are doing the same thing. They're promoting a Jesus that doesn't exist. They are promising guarantees and warranties that do not exist. This right here, this actual book, is what Jesus has given us. How does God advertise? Number one, the Bible. It's a book. It's an amazing book, but it's a book. This tells you everything we need to know. You're like, it doesn't tell you everything. I didn't say it tells you everything. I said, it tells us everything we need to know. It does. It's a manual for life. You've probably heard that before. But when you're trying to buy something, and you go in for a new refrigerator, you go to Lowe's and they say, we've put all the refrigerators in the back, and we've got all the manuals right here. Just pick up a manual. Look, this one's only 500 pages. Read it. It will tell you everything you need to know, how to fix it, what it does. I think there's some illustrations on page 497. Are you going to go, yeah, this is the one. Okay, that one's avocado. Oh, no. Don't want that color. Avocado. How many of you have an avocado refrigerator? My parents still do in the garage, I think. They're awesome. We don't read the manual before we buy something. We read the manual afterwards. How many people become saved because, in America especially, from saying, oh, you know what? You should be a Christian. Here, read this. You know what? Most of the people read the Bible and say, that's not what I see Christianity as. It's not what they were telling me. People will be saved from reading the Word. People are saved from reading the Word every day. But you know what? It's way down on the line. Secondly, people saying, you should be a Christian. Look at this t-shirt. Here's a tract. I'm gone. Get saved on your own. Peace. Hey, let's show a movie. Watch this. No, I'm not they're like, what movie are you showing? No, let's watch a movie. It's about Jesus. Are you saved yet? All right. You should get saved after watching this. You watch a TV show. You should get saved. Good luck. Come to church. That's another way. The best way God advertises, the best way God advertises is you and I preaching the gospel of Christ. You and I taking the message to a person, sitting down with them and saying, listen, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the only way I can explain it to you is what he's done in my life. Listen to this testimony of what Jesus did for me. You know what? I don't go to church because it makes me feel good and I get my church in. I go to church because of people. And you know what? There's people all over the place in church that pray for me, that love me. And that's why I go. That's what sells. That's what makes Christianity what it is today. Is people. That's what makes Christianity the spirituality it needs to be, is the people telling them personal testimonies. And what I want to do right now is give you an example of the church. And we're going to pray right now for a family. We're going to pray for the Jarrett family and the Fudge family. A boy was killed on a bike by a moving vehicle. And what we want to do right now is pray for them, because they're both families are going through a lot right now. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we as the church come before you now, and we pray for you. God, we love you so much. You are a blessing, God. You are amazing. Lord, we pray for these two families that are going through so much, that you heal them, that you give them peace and you give them joy, that you love them unconditionally. Lord, be with them. Thank you so much for loving us and letting us be the Christians, letting us be representatives of you. Bless us, God.